Okay, so the last topic within Bittel that we're going to explore is the question, or is really the inability to perform Bittel Achras Mana, right? So if everyone can turn to the Gemara in Vav Mabez, it's a very important limitation or qualification of Bittel, and the big question is going to be, how do you account for the lack of Bittel Achras Mana according to both approaches of Bittel Midin Hefker and Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara. Actually, a bunch of people actually approached me, you know, over the course of the sugya to ask, like, wait a second, why, especially according to the Afra Da'ara approach, why doesn't Bittel work L'Achar Zmano? And I told you that we'd get back to that. I wasn't just deflecting the question. I actually meant that we'd get back to that, so we're going to do that right now. So the big question exactly is how to understand the limitation of why Bittel does not apply L'Achar Zmano. So everyone can turn to Daf Vav and Beis. It's very important to read the Gemara inside, which establishes this. Again, this is the famous Gemara Vav and Beis of Abotek Tark Shivata, and the Gemara at one point suggests, why don't you just write V'chimishkachas like the Batle? Why don't you just do Bittel upon finding it? And the Gemara gives the answer. Yehuda, if you don't mind. See, Dom Mishkachas like?
Dom Mishkachas like the kind of little Nivaka. Maybe he'll find it after it's gone Esther, the comments, and it won't be in Rosh Hashos, and therefore he won't be able to do the Vata. Down with the other Vata instead. Shnei Dvarim, Shnei Rosh Hashos Shal Adam, Vassal HaKiki, Luber Shuso. So two things are not in one person. So the Pasuk made him, if it's there in Rosh Hashos, the Elohim, Bor Rosh Hashos, Makal, and Sushay Shal Salamal. That the two of them, these things are, Bor Rosh Hashos Rabim, and Makal, and Sushay Shal Salamal.
Okay. Right, so the question that we're going to have to analyze before even getting back to the two general approaches is what exactly is the chisaron of, you know, L'Achar Zmano that the Gemara is pointing to? So if I were to ask you on a pashpshat level, Yehuda, what was the Gemara? What was the chisaron? What's lacking on L'Achar Zmano?
She'ina
b'shus. She'ina b'shus, right? So we're going to see the first, right, the first approach to the Gemara, which is the pashas of the Gemara, that the chisaron of Bittel L'Achar Zmano is that the person lacks rishus. If I were to ask the Olam, what does rishus mean? Yeah.
Control over the object.
Okay, good. Excellent. In contrast to bilus, which is what?
Holding it.
Possession, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's exactly the distinction? So bilus is ownership, and what's rishus again? How do you define it?
Control.
Control. What type of control?
What?
That's too vague. Yeah.
Well, you can like use it like right away.
Okay. Good. Control, probably a better word is like usage, hishtamshus. And why, Chesky, why is Chametz La'achar Zman Yisuro lacking hishtamshus?
Because you can't eat. It's every rishus.
It's.
I mean, you can't eat hay and not have enough.
Exactly. Right. So the simple understanding of the Gemara is that the chisaron at hand is the lack of rishus. Right. And this is the pshat of the Gemara is that rishus, as defined by hishtamshus as usage, right, which is lacking in the case of chametz once it's asur b'hanah. Right. Once something is asur b'hanah, the whole point is that you lack usage. Right. You lack hishtamshus. The Torah forbids you. Prohibits you from accessing, from deriving any benefit from using the item in any way. So again, the first approach here is that the chisaron is rishus as defined by hishtamshus as usage. That's the pash pshat. In addition to just the simple pshat, again, just the lashon of the Gemara that you had just read, the Gemara says twice. It says, right, in the introduction to the memory, it says, Dilma mishkakas le bas yisurei, v'lav birshuse kaima. Right away, the Gemara seems to be focusing on the lack of rishus, therefore v'lo matzei miftel, and then even the member of Rabbi Lazar says the amr of Lazar shnei dvarim einan b'rishuso shel adam. Right, again the pashpsha and the Gemara, both in the introduction to the memra and the memra itself, seem to zero in on the factor of rishus, on the lack of accessibility and the lack of usage. Oh. Another, I'll say a rishon, which has to, you know, also interpret the Gemara like this, that the only chisaron at hand is rishus, and not, you know, the other approach which we'll see, which is bilus, is the tshuvas rivash. I had you see the tshuvas rivash. Again, if you had time, you know, for it, great. Basically, this tshuva of the rivash is a very important general makor. Is a whole big question about whether there is bilus on Yisurei Hana. It's a general machlokus in the Rishonim. So the rivash is quoted as one of the big makoros, you know, to say that there is bilus on Yisurei Hana. Right? The Rivash holds that if someone, the details aren't that important, right? This is a tshuva of the Rivash in Tuf, Simon Tuf Aleph. There the Rivash says that if a person is kone chametz on Pesach, basically that kinyan is chal, right? Even though chametz on Pesach is aser bahana, that kinyan on the isuriyana of chametz is chal, and therefore the person is going to violate bayir or bayir matzei and bichayev in malchus. So again, the tshuva of the Rivash holds that there is bailus on isuriyana. If you adopt such an approach, that there is bailus on isuriyana, so then such a rishon like the Rivash cannot be saying that the chisaron at hand is the lack of bailus. Because the only way you can say that the chisaron at hand is a lack of bailus is if you hold there's no bailus on Yisurei Hana. So the Rivash, who holds that there is bailus on Yisurei Hana, who says you can be kona and chametz post-zman Yisuro, even though it's aser b'hana, right, who clearly holds that there is bailus on Yisurei Hana, there is zechiyah on Yisurei Hana, therefore must interpret the Gemara Kapashas as saying that the only chisaron at hand of chametz la'achar zman Yisuro is the lack of rishus. So again, two makaros in line with this first approach. Number one, just the Pash Pshah of the Gemara, which seems to zero in on the lack of Rishus. And then the Rivash, right, the Rivash who holds that there is Bailas and Isuria no, has to hold that the only Chisaron hand is the Chisaron of Rishus. Oh. So that's going to take us now to the second approach, which says that no, that although the Gemara seems to zero in on Rishus, really the Chisaron hand is the Chisaron of what? Bailas. Who's the first Makor to say this?
Rashi.
Who said that? Yoni? Good. Excellent. All right, so if you look closely at Rashi, there are a number of Rashis in the Sugya, really, you know, two of them, who seem to substitute the word shiloh for rishus. Right? Heavily indicating that while the Gemara says the chisaron is ena rishuso, Rashi, in a way, lavdavkas the Gemara and says, no, here, ena rishuso really means ain't a shalal, that the person lacks bailus. And again, the assumption of this approach, we'll see this inside, the Rishonim who adopt this approach are clearly assuming that there is no bailus on Isuri Hana, right? Because the only way to justify the lack of bailus, the lack of shalal for chametz la'achar zman Isuro, is by saying that since chametz la'achar zman Isuro is aser b'hana, a person cannot have bailus on Isuri Hana, which is a very important right notion of bailus, is that part, as a component of bailus is the ability, you know, to have some form of ishtamshus. But if you are completely mufka from the realm of ishtamshus because there's an isra hana related to the chayfetz anen, so then you're mufka from bailus as well. That's a very important, you know, inyan for the realm of bailus, which is, you know, beyond the scope of our sugya. But again, that's what the following, we can quote three rishonim who on the daf, you know, understand the chisaron at hand as relating to bailus, and we're going to see the assumption of all these rishonim is that there's a lack of bailus on Isuri Hana. So look, if you look carefully at Rashi, starting with the Dira Maskel Dila Brishu Sehu. Can you go for it, Yoni?
Yeah.
So right off the bat, right, when the Gemara says Dila Brishu Sehu, what does Rashi do right away? He says, what does Dila Brishu mean? So right away, Rashi redefines Rishus and says the Rishus here is referring to the factor of bailus. And now if you look very carefully in the next Rashi, sometimes we have to be careful. Sometimes Rashi in the Dibur Maskels, sometimes we just like skip over them because it's just, you know, generally it's just a quotation of the Gemara. But sometimes it's very, well, it's always important to pay attention to even to the Dibur Maskels because sometimes Rashi either has a different girsa or sometimes substitutes a word here and there, or adds a word in the, here or there, which has a very big impact on the sugya. So here is an example of that. When he quotes in the next Dira Maskel, he's quoting the member of Rav Elazar, and look at the way he quotes it.
Oh.
So right away, Rashi L'shitaso, after, you know, explaining, let's say, the introduction of the Gemara, the Gemara's introduction to the Memra, as saying that it's not a chisaron of Rishus, but it's rather a chisaron of Enon Shiloh, he therefore is obviously like, okay, so then why is Rav Elazar focusing on Rishus? So he, again, L'shitaso substitutes the word Shiloh for Rishus. Again, not clear to me whether that's he has a different girsa, or whether that's just his pshat, but either way, Rashi very consistently, you know, when he, you know, quotes the member of Rav Elazar, the Amr of Rav Elazar, based Dvarim, he says, not Enon Bereshuso Shalal, but rather Enon Shiloh. So Rashi Lishitasa throughout here in these two different places is substituting the word Eino Shelo, the phrase Eino Shelo, for Eino Bershusa. Which again, assuming Rashi that the fact that Chametz is Aser Bahana makes it Mufka from Bailus. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, it's always hard to, you know, compare and contrast Rashi al-Rif because it's different maduras. So again, you're saying that might indicate that really his Yerusa is really in a Rishusa and he's just, you know, giving his own pshat. Is that what you were saying? Is that what you were?
Well, I was saying a lot of them either way. Meaning it could also just be that now he's
giving a Yerusa Rashi. Yeah, it's hard to know either way. So again, with those questions, it's like important from a certain angle, but not really so important whether it's, because in the end of the day, the most important thing is what's the Shita of Rashi. Right, how is Rashi learning the sugya? So whether it's based on an alternative girsa, whether it's just misvara, matters less than bottom line. Rashi holds that the chisaron in hand is Eino Shelo, and therefore you have to account for that. Moving forward, yeah.
Is there a reason why Rashi
keeps the rishus in the third one? Yeah, I was always wondering about that. I'm not sure. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure. You're saying, you know, once he substituted two out of three, why doesn't he just like go for it? What? It could be, but then you have a problem with the gear, so then it's inconsistent. Meaning, I think I was just pointing out is that meaning Rashi keeps Vasana Kasav Kilu Him Rushuso. So again, the Mahal, meaning the way to account for that probably is, again, the first two are relating to what his chisaron in regard, right, his relationship, like, what is he lacking regarding the chametz? This, the third one is a different point altogether in terms of when the Torah is asana kasa ki'ilu blank, right, that's a different angle in terms of the Torah being mechayiv you. So it could be that the parameters of chiyiv are different than the chisaron at hand. Possibly, it's a whole sugya about, you know, the role of rishus in addition to bailus, so it could relate to that. That's a sugyan heim viz tevelim, but also again, it could be keep this Rashi in mind for that. It's a good har, Okay, so again, so within the second approach, the chisaron at hand is not rishus, is rather the lack of bailus. You have Rashi. The second rishon who seems to adopt this. Anyone have the ritva at hand? Does anyone have the open up the ritva? So the ritva quotes the ra'ah, who also seems to, you know, adopt this second approach. The chisaron at hand is a chisaron in bailus. Anybody have Kovitz? Anyone else? Anyone? No? Okay. Ephraim, yeah? Do you want to ask Shnei Dvarim? Even though there's lacking.
For as far as Monte, I think it's from Yishmael. There is such a thing as a zechiyah, as far as the
Isra
is concerned.
Right, just you know, that was a very important line. Right, so the Ra'ah is saying, Da'afal gav de'in zechiyah bi'isrihana ledin mamon, even though the chisaron at hand is a lack of zechiyah, is a lack of bailus for isrihana, in the realm of choshem mishpa bailus. The Ritzvah is saying, and that for our purposes, that's all we need, right? For our purposes, what the Ra'ah just said was he basically just formulated what is the chisaron at hand. The chisaron at hand is the lack of zechiyah, is the lack of bailus, right? Le'inyan choshen mishpat. And then he goes on to say, which is an important point, and this is getting back to what I was referring to earlier, but there is a zechiyah le'inyan iser, meaning it's like the same idea. This is like his version of Hasana Kasa Kilu B'Shusa. Meaning, even though he lacks bailus le'inyan choshen mishpat, still the Torah is going to treat him as bailim, right? Le'inyan iser. So again, it's in contrast to Rashi, who says you're going to violate when it's considered B'Shusa. So the Ra'ah's formulation is that the reason why you violate is because you're considered bailim in the realm of iser beheter. So though you're not the bailim in the realm of choshen mishpat, dini mamonos, you are bailim, the Indian iser, to therefore violate. But again, for our purposes, again, which is the chiddush of the Ra'ah, of saying there's like zechiyah le'inyan different realms. This is a zechiyah le'inyan choshen mishman and a zechiyah le'inyan iser. But for our purposes, what the Ra'ah just did is in line with Rashi, the Ra'ah basically said the chisaron in hand is a lack of zechiyah, is a lack of bilus for isuriyana. So again, along the lines of Rashi, you have the Ra'ah is saying similarly, the chisaron in hand is a lack of bilus for isuriyana. Now the third Rishon who adopts this, and then we'll get to some of the analysis, is the Mi'iri. Everyone have the Mi'iri, again, Vav and Beis, at the end of Dira Matzchel Umitoch. Let's go for it, Benjamin. Let's represent the table. So the base of Achir, the Mi'iri, Vav and Beis. See Dira Matzchel Umitoch Kach. So here at the very end of that paragraph, the Mi'iri also points out that the Chisaron of the chisaron of chametz la'achar zman yisuro is the lack of bilus, is that it's defined as chametz shel acher. Right? So you see, Dira Maschel mitoch kach nearly. See the last couple lines. It's starting with v'chein chametz mishei sha'os l'mayla. I'm working hard over here. You see it? My version is like the last 2-3 lines. Or Mishesh? Yeah. Oh, so what do you read that again?
In Hebrew.
Just for emphasis. You can translate into English if you please.
And similarly by Chametz from 6 hours in Anju Usher Lo Barna, which is Usher Tim.
Oh, so what's that key line? What does he say? It's like what?
It's still like other people's chametz.
Exactly. So like, again, the simpler interpretation of chametz shalacherim is that the person, right, lacks bilus, right? If you say that the following item doesn't belong to you, it belongs to him, the implication is that you lack bilus. So again, the Mi'iri seems, again, a little less clear than the Ra'ah and Rashi, but I think it's, you know, pretty clear. So again, so the Mi'iri, Ra'ah, and Rashi are all saying the Chisaron at hand, even though the Gemara utilizes the word Eina Bereshuso, they all seem to be formulating the Chisaron at hand as a lack of bilus. Again, it's important to pin down these points about whether it's a Chisaron of Rishus or whether it's a Chisaron of bilus, because then we're going to go back to the structure of the Shir. We're going to then, you know, halfway through, we're going to go back and transition. Okay, so now either of these chesronos, how do those impact the dinam of Hefker and Afridah? That's the structure we're trying to do. Again, first trying to pinpoint and try to zero in what exactly is the nature of the chisaron, and then try to plug in to how do these chesronos, you know, end up playing a role and undermining the different forms of bittul. So again, you have, right, so the first approach, which is Pash Pshat and the Rivash, who all say the chisaron is Rishus. Now you have Rashi, the Ra'ah, and the Meiri all saying the chisaron is bilus. Before moving, yeah.
Well, not necessarily chisaron is bilus, but that reshus, like, is the equivalent.
What?
I'm saying it's not necessarily that Rashi holds that the lack is that the chisaron is bilus. It's that, I mean, it's a result of the fact that you don't have reshus, that you don't have bilus either. But that isn't necessarily.
Well, that's not always true.
What?
That's not true.
What do you mean?
You generally, there's a concept of a lack of rishus, which is not a lack of bilus.
But isn't that the whole focus that you were saying?
No, the question is, chametz la'achar zman yisuro, which is usher b'hana. I mean, it's not true. I thought you were saying that you're trying to say that Rashi, the Ra'ah, and the Meiri are simply saying that any time you lack rishus, you lack bilus. That's not true. And we'll prove in a second.
Isn't that what you were just, like, the discussion you were saying about?
No, I'm saying, there's a difference between lack of Rishus and Isuri Hana. The Rashi, the Ra'ah, and the Meiri hold that Isuri Hana specifically, which is a form of that lack of Rishus, Isuri Hana specifically also lack bilus. But we'll see there are other forms of a lack of Rishus. For example, we'll get to it soon. When, let's say I steal, this is what you watch, I steal it from you. So right now, it belongs to you, it's my rishus. Right? Meaning you lack rishus, you still have bilus. Everyone holds that. Right? So no one holds that anytime you lack rishus, you automatically lack bialis. That's not, it's only specifically b'chiyai gavna, where the lack of rishus comes as a result of the isuri hana. That is where these rishonim say that isuri hana is not just a lack of rishus, but it's also a lack of bialis. Right? Okay, so just, yeah.
I think where Avo would be is pointing out that coming to the Chesh, coming to the Lord.
So what do you mean?
That it shouldn't be comparable to all cases in terms of Bias and Rishos. It's a Chesh.
Are you, I got this question said, are you basically asking if this din applies to all Yisuri Hana, why is the Gemara only mention Bor Bishas Rav and Chames Lachar Zmana?
It also says it as if it's a, like,
is that what you're asking that?
Yeah.
Okay, no, good. So I think the answer to that, I think, if I understand, those are, yeah. The answer to that is that there are two halves of Rav Elazar's memra. The first half is Shnei Dvarim Einam Brishusa Shel Adam, which that, you're right, Yochanami applies to all these Yisuri Hana. The part which is unique to these two is that the Torah is Asana Kasav Kilo Brishuso Lavra Lam. The uniqueness of Chametz and Bor Bishus Rabim is that despite the lack of Rishus or Bailus, the Torah is Mechayev you as if you are Bailus. Meaning, by a Chametz, as long as it's sitting in your property, even though technically you're not the Choshen Mishpah of Bailim where you lack Rishus, the Torah is going to treat you as if you are the Bailim in order to violate Bayer Bayamatze. Generally, by Yisuri Hana, even if you lack Rishus, you're not going to violate just because you're sitting in your Rishus.
The Chalal for Rishus and Abayelis, everything else is the same. The Chiddush only in the
Bad Zach. Yeah, so I was saying, the Chiddush of Elazar is not the Shnei Devarim in a Rishus HaShal Adam part, it's the Seifa of Asana Kasa Kilu of Rishus HaShal part. In short, that's a great question. Yeah.
What's it wrong about Asar?
Like, philosophically, I mean, like, you're saying what are the like formal? We're saying what are the formal Yisurim?
I mean, what's the problem with having a Avodah Zarah and like owning a Avodah Zarah?
So mainly the Yisur of Avodah Zarah is Yisur of Avodah.
What was your
something else. And the Yisur, there's no Yisur Shehiya, I don't think per se, of Avodah Zarah. There's an Yisur Hana, Lotzibak Mumra, you know, from Menacherim. But that ritual we'll discuss later, I was discussing also. That ritual all saying is that if a Yisrael ends up owning a Avodah Zarah, then there's no bittul of Avodah Zarah. It's a separate thing. The ritual, the Ra'ah there is just saying that a person will own a Avodah Zarah just in the lack of bittul. Because a Avodah Zarah, Shal Yisrael, is not nitan to bittul. There's no Yisur Shehiyah per se.
Why is he bringing it here?
Just to say that because you have Choshen, you consider the Bailim, the Inyan Isser, to say that we consider it to be a, you know, a Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael, to say that it's not Nitan, it's not, you know, subject to Bittul Avodah Zarah. That's the idea. Okay? Okay. So just before moving on here, just to highlight, there are two assumptions within the second approach. Right? Within the second approach, that the Chisaron at hand is a chisaron of bailus and not a chisaron of rishus. So there are two assumptions that we have to analyze. Number one is an assumption on a textual basis. Right, what's the big assumption textually? What does the Gemara say?
Rishus.
Right. So the big assumption, the textual assumption of this approach is that even though the Gemara characterizes, right, explicitly characterizes the chisaron as ina rishuso, that this Mahalach is willing to say that although the Gemara says Eina Bereshuso, what it really means is Eina Shelo. So again, that's a textual point, which is a Chiddush, because generally the terms Eina Shelo and Eina Bereshuso are contrasted with one another. So it's like strange to conflate for the Gemara to substitute like two terms which in other cases are specifically contrasted with one another, and we'll see a famous Gemara, to specifically, you know, substitute one for the other when in other cases they're specifically contrasted. Which Gemara am I referring to? This is the Gemara I had you see as like a one-liner in Baba Kama Samach Chesam Beis, the famous Memra of Rav Yochanan, which is important, we'll get back to this later on. There's a famous case of Rav Yochanan where it says, this is the case where I was describing before, is that if someone steals, right, let's say I, Chas V'Shalom, steal this watch from Yehuda Dov, so then, both me as the Gazlan and Yehuda Dov as the Nigzel, both can't be Makdish the item. I can't be Makdish the item as the Gazlan because what's my Chisaron?
Shalom.
Eina shelo. What's and the bigger chiddush is what's the chisaron? Why can't you the dove be makdish? It's his. Eina b'rishuso. So there the Gemara is saying, right, this is the famous Gemara in Baba Kama, Samachesim, and Beis, says, Gazel velonis yeshu abaylam, if the case of Gzela and there's no yesh, we'll skip the yesh part for now, Shneim inu yecholim lahakdish. Both parties, both the Gazlan and the Nigzal, cannot be makdish. Ze, the Gazlan, lefisha inu shalom, right, I lack bailas, how can I be makdish something that I don't own? Vize yudadov, the Nigzal, lefisha inu b'rishus, so, right, it's not in his rishus, since it's in my physical rishus, he lacks accessibility to it, right? So so he lacks rishus. So there, when he says ze lefisha ina shalo vize lefisha ina rishuso, so there the terms, the phrases shalo and rishus are specifically contrasted with one another. So and these are two important categories in halacha, shalo and rishus. So given that, it's a little strange for this approach, which is important ha'ara, that this, you know, approach is saying that even though the Gemara says ina rishuso, lav dafka, really, what it really means is ena shalo, as Rashi just substitutes one for the other. So again, so one assumption of this second approach is the textual assumption is that they're willing to substitute the term shalo for the term rishus, which is important to note for these purposes of, you know, interchanging the term shalo and rishus. Not going to get into the details, but there are, you know, mekoros, there are other mekoros, let's say, in Rishonim. One example I didn't have you see because it's a little out of context, but there's a Rashi in Baba Kama. If you just want to get the makor down, Rashi Baba Kama Samachei Amar Aleph. So Rashi Baba Kama Samachei Amar Aleph Dibra Maskel Tavra, where Rashi there, I'm not getting into the details, utilizes the term Rishus when he's really referring to Shalah. Again, which could be a Rashi L'Shitasa to a certain extent, where Rashi, again, is not bothered by interchanging these terms Shalah and Rishuso. So again, the same way that Rashi here interprets the Gemara, which says Rishus is referring to Shalah, so there too, I'm not getting into the details, Rashi there utilizes the term Rishus when he really means Shalah. It's very clear from context. So again, that's just the Ha'ara, that although it seems strange that you would find, you know, the Gemara interchanging these two terms, all I'm saying is that, you know, point out that Rashi, at least in another context, does substitute these two terms, which could be Lishitaso to hear that he's not bothered, you know, interchanging these two terms when they're not being contrasted with each other. So again, that's assumption number one on a textual basis, that again, that they're willing to interpret the Gemara, which says Rishus, as being Shalom. The second assumption is, you know, more of a conceptual halachic assumption, which is that, remember, what was the basis of their shita? What is their basis of saying that a person lacks bailus on for chametz? Why?
Is there no?
So what's the assumption that a person?
Is there no? It's not yours.
Exactly. So the halachic assumption, which is a very important point, this is subject to a huge machlok, as you've shown him. The other halachic assumption of this approach is that a person lacks bailus on isuri hana. That's a very important halachic assumption of Rashi, the Ra'ah, and the Meiri. They all hold, they all subscribe to the approach. It's a general machlokas Rishonin. They all hold that you lack bailus on isuri hana. So again, for that, you know, a well-known makor for that is the Tshuvas HaRashba, which I put on the Marmar Komos. The Tshuvas HaRashba in Chelek Aleph, Simen Tov Reish Beis. Again, it's in the context of being Mekadesh in Isha with isuri hana, and the Rashba famously has a formulation that the reason why you can't be Mekadesh in Isha with isuri hana is because the Isha cannot be Kone isuri hana. So again, the just in support of that halachic assumption that there's no bailus on isuri hana, it's that Tshuvas HaRashba, which is like a well-known makor for this idea that there is no bailus on isuri hana. Okay, so far that's sort of like an introduction in the sense of, you know, isolating, trying to identify what exactly is the chisaron at hand. Again, first approach, the chisaron at hand is a chisaron of rishus. Again, the chisaron of chametz lachar zmano. First approach, it's a chisaron of rishus. And then the second approach, which says it's a chisaron in bailus. So now that we have identified the two potential chisronos of chametz lachar zman isuro, so now we have to figure out and now plug that in back to the two general approaches in Bittul and to figure out, so what's the problem of lacking bailus? What's the problem of lacking rishus? How does this tie into the nature of Bittul itself? So let's start off with the, you know, the easier one, which is the Hefker approach. And that is, very simply, if you hold that Bittul works mitam Hefker, so right? So then you would need all the requirements which are generally subject to Hefker. and it happens to work out very nicely, that in order to be mafkir an item, we'll prove this, you need, guess what? You need both bailus and rishus. So it works out very nicely that if you hold that bittul works mitam hefker, so then you can, right, within the bittul mitam hefker approach, you can, you know, either of the original approaches work, right? Whether you accept that the chisaron in hand is a chisaron of rishus, or you think the chisaron in hand is a chisaron of bailus, either way, since you require, according to our psak, since you require both bailus and rishus in order to be mafkir an item, so therefore it makes a lot of sense why bittul mitin hefker will not work for chametz lachas manisiru, because either you're lacking the ingredients of rishus, or you're lacking the ingredients of shelo, and both are requirements for a maisa hefker. What's the raya to that? So again, without getting into the details, but basically in the sugya there in Baba Kama, which starts in Samachesim Aviz and goes on for a couple dapim, so there Rav Yochanan is basically in the context of hektish. Remember, it says, right, the lashon of Yochanan was shneim in yicholim lahaktish, right? Both parties, right, the gazlan and the nigzal, both can't be matish. Again, the clear assumption is Rav Yochanan that in order to be matish an item, you need both bailus and rishus. But that's only inyan hektish. How do you know that applies to a maisa hefker? So again, without getting into the details, it's not for now. But the Gemara on the next amud, Baba Kama Samach Tes Amud Aleph, basically extends those two requirements to the world of hefker as well. And the Gemara there says that if you paskin like Rav Yochanan, that you need both bailus and rishus for maisa hektish, so then that would carry over to maisa hefker as well. To say that the only way you can be mafkir an item is if you have both bailus and rishus. So again, and we paskin like Rav Yochanan, so again, this is the Gemara in Samach Tes Amud Aleph, which clearly proves that a maisa hefker requires both bailus and rishus. So therefore, that would clearly explain why you can't do bittul midin hefker lachar zman isiru, because either you lack one of these two ingredients, either rishus or bailus. And this analysis is spelt out agav, but in the Avne Nezer. If you look at the Avne Nezer on page 2 of Mar Makomos, again, he basically spells out agav, they're like, yeah, if you hold of the bittul midin hefker approach, this sugya is very easy to explain, right? If you think that bittul works mitam hefker, then it's very easy to explain the lack of bittul la'achar zman isru. Anyone have, Chaim, do you have the Mar Makomos at least? No? Yair? Do you have no, it's not even the sheet. Mordechai? Avi? Yeah, if you lose the first line. Yeah, sorry, the light. For guys, like, it's the Avnei Nezer that I had you see, again, is discussing the lumdus of this question. Exactly. Why is it that bittul doesn't work la'achar zman isru? And again, a good lamb, then he's going to say, it depends on the nature of bittul, right? You can't, in this sugya, what we're trying to prove is you can't move on any issue within bittul without first figuring out what's the nature of bittul. And therefore, every issue in the sugya has to depend, have to analyze both from the perspective of bittul midin hefker and bittul midin afid ara. So go for it. Yesh la'ayin. Right, so you're right. Yesh la'ayin. Yeah, so the question is, so basically, why is that? Why is it that achar zman isru, you can't perform bittul? He says, bishlama. Oh. Exactly. So basically, the Avnei Nezer says, spells out this analysis, that it's very easy to account for the lack of bittul midin hefker la'achar zman isru, because as we said before, right, the ingredients of bailus and rishus are prerequisites to a maisa hefker, just like they're prerequisites to a maisa hektish, and therefore it's easy to explain. Oh. So that basically covered the maisa hefker approach. Again, the maisa hefker approach could work with either within the chisaron of bailus or within the chisaron of rishus, because both are necessary ingredients for a maisa hefker. So now, you know, where the real lumdus kicks in is within the afra da'ara approach, right? Because the whole approach of bittul midin afra da'ara is that the person redefines the chametz as afra da'ara. So the question is, mehechi tesi that you need bailus for that? Mehechi tesi you need rishus for that? Right? Why can't a person just, meaning, why can't you do that to any chametz which is around? So that's going to be the big question that we're going to have to analyze right now for the rest of this year. And just we're going to throw out right away that we're only going to be able to account for, so like this, the approach of Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara seemingly can only align with the Bailus approach. As if to say, it seems to be very difficult to justify why Rishus is a prerequisite for Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara. So again, we'll explain what the role of Bailus is, but the only svaras we're going to give is in terms of why there's a chisaron of Bailus, which would undermine the ability to perform Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara, which would therefore necessitate that if you, according to this analysis, that if you hold a Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara, you're going to need to adopt the approach to say that the chisaron of Chametz La'achras Man Yisro is a chisaron of Bailus. So if you just think about the Shitos, Rashi, for instance, it works out very well, right? Because Rashi is one of the big Afra Da'ara people. And Rashi, perhaps L'shitaso, specifically goes out of his way to say that the Chisaron at hand is a Chisaron of Bailus. We're suggesting it could be one of the reasons why he does that. Again, another reason could just be that his Shita about Yisuriya and Bailus and Yisuriya, no. But another suggestion, just internal to the Sugya itself, it could be that Rashi is saying, because I adopt the Afra Da'ara approach, right, the only way I can justify the lack of Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara, La'achras Man Yisuro, is by saying that, because La'achras Man Yisuro, there's a lack of Bailus. And there's a lack of Bailus, so then there's something to talk about. We'll explain it in just a moment. But the lack of Rishus doesn't seem to undermine the factor of Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara. And we're going to see that the Rabbeinu David, anyone have the Rabbeinu David? Ephraim? You remember? Chesky has it also. So the Rabbeinu David, who again was another Rishon within the Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara camp, also, I think L'shitaso, formulates the Chisaron of Bittel La'achras Man Yisuro as a Chisaron of being Mevato Chomet Shel Acher, which as we pointed out with the Meiri, would seem to imply that the Chisaron is a Chisaron of Bailus. Again, I think confirming this analysis, again, that if you adopt the Afra Da'ara approach, the only way to justify the lack of Bittel La'achras Man Yisuro is by saying that La'achras Man Yisuro, the person lacks Bailus. So you do, again, Volume Bez, you're asked about Bodek Tzarek Shivato. Prime or Chesky, either one? You have it? You see the first paragraph, four lines from the end of the paragraph? Ubilvach Yomer Kain? This is after the Rabbeinu David adopts the Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara approach. He now mentions the qualification of that this Bittel will only work Kodem Zman Yisuro, before Zman Yisuro, and then he has an important formulation in terms of what the Chisaron would be, La'achar Zman Yisuro. Can you go for it? That was the big line, right? All right, so far he just uses the first couple lines. He just uses the Gemara's lashon of Rishuso, so it's hard to know. But then he says shekol she'ino b'rishuso, as long as it's not in your rishus, ein lo isek bo klal. You have no connection, no business with it. Literally, no connection to it. Ela kamisha batel chemtzo shel chaver. Again, utilizes this term that la'achras man yisuro, it's as if you're doing bittel on the chametz of your friend. Again, a lot of this analysis, like Rashi, seems to be saying that the only reason why a bittel midin afra da'ara is not going to work la'achras man yisuro is because you can't do bittel on chametz which doesn't belong to you. But having said all that, we still have to explain. Okay, so we drop the tzad of rishus. We're saying that's going to be very hard to justify. But we still haven't even justified the chisaron of bailus. Why do you need to be bailum in order to be mevatel midin afra da'ara? Is that a hand? Yeah.
I was just wondering why we can't say the rishus approach is in Afra Da'ara.
Okay, can I explain it?
What?
Do you have an explanation?
I don't see what's so difficult necessarily. I mean, if it's not in your rishus, then you can't do anything with it, right? And you're
affected. I mean, you don't. Yeah, but why does that curtail your ability to redefine it?
Because the redefining it has to be within your rishus.
You're just restating it.
I know, but I'm saying, like, how do we know that you can't redefine that you could redefine something if it's not in your rishus?
I think the burden of proof would be the other way.
Why?
I'm saying, meaning, if it belongs to you.
But
we'll see. What meaning? We'll see. I mean, generally, when something belongs to you, you have the ability to define it. We'll see in the context of Tumah Tahara that the Adonizer brings up.
Well, let's see.
Did you see the Adonizer yet? So the, we're going to see. So the,
Tumah Tahara is different anyway.
We'll get there. The Adonizer is about to bring a Dimyon. He's going to say, oh, where B'chol Torah Kula do we find the parallel of trying to redefine an item? He says Tumah Tahara, and there we're going to see that Bilus is all you need.
Well, let's say someone steals something from your shoes. Are you able to just consider it as dirt and nugget?
For what?
Where
else? I'm saying, the hard part here is that you don't have many halachos where there's a nafkamina of defining it as dirt. That's why we'll see this. Come back after we discuss the Armahalchim, and you'll come back and see if we why it doesn't carry over to Rishus. Okay? Fair? Okay, right, so the question now is, why is there a chisaron even of Bilus? Yeah.
I'm understanding Rebbe's question is that Rebbe's asking that you shouldn't need neither Bilus nor Rishus if it's upper, because I'm not doing it, I'm just defining what my attitude is.
Exactly.
So is it possible that maybe it's a similar chisaron that you might have, let's say, Dabar Shel Ba'olim, that I don't have, meaning if I'm trying to define my attitude towards something, how I view it, so I need to have a certain amount of connection to it. I need to be able to look at it and say, this is offered to me. If I don't have neither Bilus nor Rishus, maybe we're edging more toward something that's like a Dabar Shel Ba'olim, that it's a chisaron in my ability to make clear exactly what I want to.
So again, it depends on what the chisaron of Dabar Shel Ba'olim is, but you don't mean the meaning one approach to Davar Shel Ba'olam is that the person doesn't like Ganiras Das. That doesn't apply here, because, and that idea is because it's not concrete, because it's not lo, since it's lo bali olam, it's, you know, it's more of the realm, it's in the conceptual realm, theoretical realm, but it's not concretized. But here you have a concrete piece of chumash, so that wouldn't apply. But if you're saying more that more like a halachic basis, that you need to have some type of, you know, halachic relationship to the chametz in order to, is that what you're saying? More along those times? More along those lines? That you need to have more of like a halachic relationship to it in order to define it?
Honestly, initially I was thinking more the first way.
Because if it's the first way, then I disagree with Dimyon, because I think the chisaron of Shelo Ba'alei Olam, I think, especially within that lack of Gemara's Das approach, is mostly focused on, because it's the lack of concreteness, which I don't think carries over to.
I mean, if I can see it in front of me, even if I have no Rishus or Bilus.
From that perspective.
Right, that's not going
to
be.
That's what I think. Again, we'll come to something more halachicized, but just from the perspective of Gemara's Das, that I think is harder to carry over, where you have a piece of concrete chametz staring you in the face. That's, you know, Lanias Daiti. Okay, so right, so in terms of this question of, right, why do you need Bilus in order to do a Bitul Midin Afrad Ara? So first we're going to see the approach of the Adonizer. So Adonizer is going to do something which is always, Adonizer is always very fascinating. Whenever you have a question like this, right, so one way Achronim are going to take it is, okay, let's try, or Rishonim, any Mepharshim, are going to say, okay, let's try to find a parallel to Chol Torah Kula, and let's try to see what the requirements are there. So Adonizer says, oh, where do we find a parallel to Bittel, right, along the lines of Midin Afer the Ara, where you're redefining a Chetza? He says, oh, in the world of Tumah V'Tahara, right, there's a concept which says that only something which is a Shem Kli, only something which is defined as a Kli, is Nitan for Kabbalah's Tumah, can receive Tumah. But sometimes it's not clear if something is a Kli, right? Kli, one of the requirements of a Kli has to be a finished product. So sometimes you have an item which, you know, you guys can come up with a good example. An item which some people, like, it's at this stage, or some people will use it as is, but other people will say, no, I want to use it for another purpose which requires another tikkun. Right? So you have an item which is like an in-between stage where it has like some function. Let's say you have like, you know, I don't know, come up with a good example. Say you have like a pencil, right? If you don't mind. Right? Pencil, right? So for whatever reason, you know, the mechanism inside, which enables it to become a pencil, doesn't work. But let's say I just want to use this as like a poker. It's like, you know, so then, even though it's missing its capacity to become a pencil, if I, as the Bilum, as we'll see, says, no, I'm just using this as a poker, either to stab people or to, hopefully, to, you know, make holes in the ground, so then it's going to become a shame clean. It's called, there's a Gemar Malacha, because I'm the Bilum, and I have the ability to define it as a clean. And since I say it's a kli, therefore it's a kli. Oh. So as you can tell, the Avnezer says, for that halacha of a person's ability to redefine the item as a kli or not as a kli, that is limited to guess who? The Bailam. So says the Avnezer, oh, I'll tell you why only the Bailam can redefine the chametz as after the Ara, because look, Matsinu b'chol Torah kula, we find a parallel where only the Bailam is able to define the chetzah as a kli or not a kli. So therefore, just like there, by Tumah v'Tahara, we see that only the Bailam has the capacity, has the ability to redefine the item as a shame kli. So to hear, only the Bailam has the capacity, has the ability to redefine the chametz as after the Ara. That's the Avnezer's Mahalach. And he says, that's why there's a requirement, there's a prerequisite of Bailus, even for the approach of Bitl Midin after the Ara, just like you find by Tumah v'Tahara. Oh. But within this approach of the Avnezer, right, the downside or is that once the Avnezer explains this din, based on the din of Tumah v'Tahara, so then there has to be a certain consistency between the details there and the details here. Because if the mechanism at hand, right, if the qualification here is based on the qualification of Chol Torah Kula, so then if there are certain exceptions by Tumah v'Tahara, then they should carry over here. Says the Avnezer, he originally asks it as a little akasha, he says, the problem there is that there's one exception. The Chol Torah Kula, a non-Bailam can redefine a Cheftza if that person does it Alidei Maisa. If that person does like a Shinoi to the Chefetz, so then a non-Bailam can also redefine the Cheftza. So says the Avnezer, he says, according to my Shita, so that means that if a person does, a non-Bailam does Bittel Alidei Maisa, as an example in the Gemara, where you like basically a piece of chametz and you put plaster around it, which is basically you're rendering it not chametz, right? You can't eat it anymore. There's plaster on it. So says the Avnezer, what comes out according to my Shita is that that must work for a non-Bailam. And therefore, sorry, that must work even la'achar zman isuro. Says Avnezer, if the whole basis of my Shita is that the Bailam is required, just like a Bailam is required for Chol Torah Kula, so then an exception to Chol Torah Kula, where it says that a non-Bailam can redefine an object Alidei Maisa, so then that should carry over here. So the Avnezer says in Chanami, who I didn't hear, that although, right, that even La'achra Zman Yisura, where the person lacks Bailus, even so, if he does the Bittel Alidei Maisa, it's going to work. The difficulty is that the Gemara never says that. Right? The Gemara implies the Lachar Zman Yisuro, there is no form of bittel at all. If anything, you can just plug it into the Shaka Vitaria. You could say, oh, Mechi Mishkachaslei, the Gemara should say, and Mechi Mishkachaslei, do a bittel Alidei Maisa, which works even Lachar Zman Yisuro. Right? So again, Avnezer just says in the Chanami, but again, it's a slight problem because it's not really so meduk in the Gemara. The Gemara sounds like no type of bittel works Lachar Zman Yisuro, but according to Avnezer, a bittel Alidei Maisa will work Lachar Zman Yisuro. Yeah.
Didn't we say before that why isn't the same Mechina Shasa Levar, right? Because there's a lag time. You can't answer there's a lag, that with a bittel Alidei Maisa there'll be a lag time, that'll be a problem.
Oh. Okay. So I guess that would answer why the Gemara doesn't ask a follow-up question. It doesn't answer the question that Lo Matsinu in the Gemara that this exception exists. Okay, right. So you're right. So I guess Tefasta, move a little Tefasta. I guess I went for the you know, the knockout punch. So that, I guess, that, you're right, is not so pashut. But again, still, I think it's still a slight problem. I think a big problem is that the Gemara makes it, the pashut is the Gemara is that no bittel works Lachar Zman Yisuro, and that, according to Avnezer, is still not true. Yeah.
Why do you have to take it to say it's not the same thing?
Well, that's what Avnezer says, but
why?
I guess because, you know, methodologically, he's saying, if I'm explaining the din based on that din, so then it should have the same parameters. If there are any differences, you'd have to account for those differences. That makes sense. If he's saying the same reason why, he's saying the reason why a non-Bailam can't redefine the chametz is just like a non-Bailam can't redefine a shame kli leading to Tumah v'Tahara. So that's an Avnezer. But if that's the reason, So then if there's an exception there, that exception should carry over here unless you have a reason to be mechalek. I think that part's valid. Yeah.
I'm not really holding against, why would Tachamis be said to be a physical thing as opposed to like physical destruction of Tachamis?
What was that?
Why would Tachamis be said to be a physical thing as opposed to like physical destruction of Tachamis?
Because it's, the Tachamis is still there, you're just putting plaster on top of it. You don't like destroy the Chavta. It's gonna, you know, it's a good segue into Tashvisu. It's a big question within Tashvisu is how much of it is like a destruction of the Chavta, or how much of it is like making you inaccessible to it. But assuming like the pashas that Tashvisu requires of the destruction of the Chavta, so Tach Petit doesn't really, you know, destroy the Chavta in any way.
Yoni. Can you say just like covering the Chavta of the Pesach? Supposed to do after you find
the Pesach,
can you say just
to myself? Well, again, that's not even bittul. It's funny, I guess that's one step over. You know, Ziv was asking why Tach Petit wasn't Tashbisu. So you're saying, why isn't Kofal of the Kli bittul?
Yeah.
Because bittul is about, especially within Afid Da'ara, is basically you're saying that, like, this is not Chametz, this is not Ochel anymore. So Tach Petit, where you're putting plaster on the piece of bread, so that shows you're no longer relating to the piece of bread as ochel, because you can't eat it once there's plaster on there. But just because you're covering with a kli, you know, you can cover. Covering with a kli just means I don't want to access it now, but you're not changing, you're not saying that you don't relate to it as ochel anymore. You're just saying, that ochel, I don't want to have it. You know, it's like, you know, when you're hiding food from your kid. You hide it. It doesn't mean you don't relate to it as food anymore, you just don't want your kid to see it. You know what I'm saying? It's a little different. Like, there's a hand, yeah.
Wouldn't it seem that the only reason you need machshava, that you need to be a bow on it to change the machshava to change its status, if you're making this like a kasha, but you can't even really. So here you're just making it dot. It's not like you're actually making it a new status. It's just,
okay, so
it's really incredible, so it's not.
So you're asking another kasha on the Avinez. You're saying you don't like the dimyo.
Yeah.
You're saying because maybe the reason why you need to be the bailam to make something into a kli is because you're trying to like make something positive.
Yeah,
so I hear that. The other answer is assumption, which I think this is pretty normative. I think the normative explanation is that the reason why you need to be the bailam is because like only the bailam could define what this is. It seems like the lambda is there, but Bukama is not. Is that, oh, you need to be the bailam to like take it to the next level of a shame kli? Because the bailam can, meaning it's more that you need to be the bailam in order to decide what its purpose and what its function is. So that would carry over here. So once you're the bailam, you need to be the bailam to define whether the purpose of this chametz is an ochel, is a shem chametz, or whether it's just afidar. I hear you're asking, but I think that's a normative understanding. Yeah.
But I think the thing is that once you do a maisa, which is maybe the tumma, then even if you have a machshava, the fukish and tumma doesn't work. I mean, if you have a machshava, maybe the tumma, then have another machshava. But if you have a machshava, the hate behavi did it, you might have another machshava, a fukin did it.
Okay.
But if you do a maisa, like you make a cake, and you make a piece of bread, so there's a maisa, make a shem. And now I want to say, it's after the ara.
I know, so but that is a new, but that changes, because now Pesach just came.
So, you do a maisa machia, which is oichal, and you want to say, it's not oichal anymore because.
I know, but you. Yeah, I hear what you're asking, I'm not so bothered, because like, I think it's a little different just because when you made it into ochel, Pesach wasn't, you know, in question. But now it's like, oh, now Pesach comes, so how do you define it? I think it's like a more of like a panim chadashos in a sense of like that. Oh, yeah.
You solve this problem with his ending about the fact that it's different.
Okay. So the first discrepancy that the Avnezer brings up and just says Ein Chanami too is this question of Ali Dei Maisa, where he says, right, Lefil is Dimyon, so then Bittel should work La'achas Mani Surah, even Ali Dei Maisa. And he says, Ein Chanami, it does, which you point out, which is a little difficult because the Gemara never says that. The other discrepancy which the Avnezer is bothered by is what? What's the other discrepancy that the Avnezer is bothered by?
How does it work?
Because Machshava generally, right, because it's by Tumah V'Tahara, Machshava cannot be Mafkia Ishem Ochel. So Alvin Hizer says, I'm in trouble. Because if I'm looking to Tumah V'Tahara as my model for Afra, for Bittul, Midin Afra Da'ara, he says that the problem is because in the world of Tumah V'Tahara, Machshava alone cannot be Mafkia Ishem Ochel. And that's exactly what Bittul is. Bittul is through machshava, right? We know batal belibo, you're taking a shem ochel away from the chametz. So he says, how am I going to account for that discrepancy? So he says, what? How does he answer? He says, it's gzeiras hakasuv. Which becomes interesting, that after for the entire piece, saying, you know, the din of bitl midin afer da'aras is din b'chol Torah kula, you know, just parallel to Tumah Vatara, in the end of the day, he finds himself stuck and says, so in order to account for the discrepancy in terms of, you know, the point of being mafkia shem ochel, it must be the gzeiras hakasuv allows for that. So I was like, Ephraim, which is interesting, he doesn't then say, once this whole basis is gzeiras hakasuv, now, you know, strike down the whole dimyon. He keeps with the dimyon. He just uses the gzeiras hakasuv to account for the discrepancy in terms of the hafka of shem ochel. But which is interesting is that, but what you could have said is, and this is going to be the second halakha we're going to introduce, is that once you come onto the fact that there's a gzeiras hakasuv for bittul, so then isn't it easier to just simply say that the whole notion of bittul midin avar da'ara is just a unique din, and then you're not going to be bothered by any of these discrepancies. So that's going to bring us to mahalach number two. So again, the first mahalach in terms of explaining why you need bailas for bittul midin avar da'ara is the mahalach of the Abdin Ezer, which basically says it's a din in kol Torah kula, just like you find by Tumah Vatara, that you need to be the bailam to redefine an object. Again, just to summarize, then he basically points out two discrepancies. One is the Aliday Maisa, which he solves by saying in Hanami, that carries over here. The second discrepancy of Havkal Shem Ochel, he solves by saying, just Xeris Kasuv. Fine. But this is going to bring us to now, which we'll conclude. I'd like to suggest an alternative, which I think Ephraim was also hinting to, which say, no. Once you have Xeris Kasuv, you can easily solve all these discrepancies by saying, no. The requirement for Bittul Midin Afra Da'ara to only be done by a bailam is a unique din in chametz. Where would this come from? Why would I say this idea that in order to perform a bittul midin afer da'ara, you need to be the bailam? Says it gets back. It's a beautiful way to end for those who are leaving. Gets back to everything we've been developing this summer at night, which is that Ba'al Rabbi Yamatze and chametz in general has a very heavy subjective component to it. I mean, pointing out the reason for that is that because a big part of chametz is not just the objective question about whether objectively there's a physical piece of chametz in your rishus, but the reason why by Rabbi Matzeh, according to so many people, is formulated subjectively in terms of, you know, whether you know about it, whether you see it, whether you wrote to Bikumo, all the shirim we've had. It's all about, because the Isra of chametz is all about how the person relates to the chametz. So it could be along those lines, another manifestation of the subjective approach is that, yeah, because chametz and Ba'al Rabbi Matzeh and Bittul is all about establishing a person's subjective relationship to chametz, so that can only be done by the bailam. Because it's the whole point of chametz is that chametz being in your chametz, right? You have to establish that you relate to your chametz, not as chametz, because we developed before, because chametz is a certain representation that has to be rejected on Pesach. So again, because the whole basis of the Isser chametz is very much subjective in orientation, it's all about how a person relates to his chametz. So therefore, in a bittul, especially if midin avar da'ara is all subjective, how do I relate to my chametz? Do I relate to it as chametz? Or no, it's fine as long as I relate to it as avar da'ara. So therefore, it makes ton of sense why davka chametz bittul midin avar da'ara can only be performed by labailim, because it's all about how a person relates to his chametz. And now we can understand that all those discrepancies that the Abnei Nezer brought up, it doesn't matter, because chametz is unique. And therefore, just to spell it out, therefore, bittul is not going to work even if the bittul is alidei ma'isa. Because again, as the Pashas of the Gemara, no bittul works la'achas mani siru, because bittul midin afer da'ara is all about how I subjectively relate to my chametz. And therefore, it's the only person who can do a bittul midin afer da'ara is the bailam. Because only the Bialim can, through a bitul midin afer da'ara, redefine his chametz and say it doesn't work. I don't view it as chametz, I view it as afer da'ara. So again, this would account for the discrepancy of ayde ma'isa to say that even a bitul ayde ma'isa is not going to work, because the whole realm of bitul is all about how a person subjectively relates to his chametz. Last point. And then the second question, discrepancy of, we don't find by tumah v'tara that you can, you know, be mafia shem ochel through machshava. The answer is that's the whole point of chametz. The whole point of chametz is that as long as you don't subjectively relate to your chametz as ochel, you relate to it rather as afer da'ara, you are good to go. So again, in short, in contrast to the Adonizer, who basically tries to tie this to a general din kultur kula, I think we can suggest, based on everything we've been developing, you know, thus far, there's a heavy subjective component to Bar Bai Matzeh and the dinim of chametz, that it's dafka a din in the bailam, defining the way he relates to his chametz, and therefore la'akras mani sura, when he lacks bailus, he cannot define his chametz. Let's go around the table. Yeah.
Why is the owner to relate to it? It's us with you. Why can't you just... Any food that's there, just relate to it how you want.
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I think the answer is that I guess this is getting back to a little before you were saying, that the only chametz, however you define it, what it represents, or whatever you think the problem of chametz is, so the problem of Bar Bai Matzeh is you connecting to that. Right, it being in your rishus, it being owned by you, as we'll explain. Right, for you to own chametz on Pesach, that means you have a relationship with chametz. So that means that as a problem, because you're tapping into that which chametz represents. But if you don't own the chametz, so then it's like chametz shel achirim. What's the connection to me?
Why is it us with you?
What?
So why is it us with you? It's obviously a connection.
Well, the Torah places it in your rishus to violate. But the point is that you can't. But in order for you to define it, at the point that you're defining it, you need to be the bialim. I hear what you're asking. It's a good question. In short, I think the idea is that in order, meaning if chametz, based on the subjective approach, is all about, you know, it being a problem for you to have a relationship to chametz, and therefore the way to get around all these surim of Bar Bai Matzeh is about subjectively relating to your chametz in a certain way. So basically saying the only time you have the ability to redefine that and to, you know, redefine that chametz is when you're still considered the bialim. After you're no longer the bialim, so then the Torah puts it in your rishus only leining iser. That's the point. The point is that's the whole memory of Rav Elazar, is that the Torah says you don't have a rishus, you don't have a connection to it on an ownership level. You only have a connection to it on an Isra level. And once it's only on an Isra level, so that is only in you violating, but not in terms of all the positive things that you can do, such as redefining it. That would be the idea. Yeah?
I think we have the same question. So if we're tapping into the subjectivity by Bai Matzeh,
yeah.
Then how could you say that I'm a Baal for one, but not a Baal for the other, if we're tapping into the same thing?
Saying why is that particularly a question within this?
The bittul is through the subjectivity of Bar Bai Matzeh.
Yeah, but I mean the whole idea. You just use like the Ra'az formulation. You have zechia, you have zechia le'inyan iser, but not le'inyan choshe mishpat. That's basically saying that you only have a connection to it in terms of violating yisurim, but you don't have a connection to it le'inyan any positive benefits. And one of those positive benefits is the ability to take control of it and therefore to be mevatalit. I think you really, I mean, I don't think you're asking a question on me as much as just the memory of Rav Elazar, which basically says you have this very nuanced breakdown where we're going to treat it as yours le'inyan iser, but not le'inyan anything positive. And we're just saying now that in the list of positive things that you're mufka from is your ability to take control of it and to redefine it. Just like you don't own it on a chosha mishpa level, so too you don't own it to be able to now, as the owner, be able to positively redefine it as no longer being chametz. It's only in your, you only have a relationship with Isser. But the whole point of it only being with Isser is that that's now out of your control. That's only on like on the negative ledger side of things. I think you're asking, I think it's really Rav Elazar's memra. That the Torah places it in your rishus, but only for the purpose of the violation.
So in the end, what you're saying is that the reason why you can't do bittul after the zman is because they start to get out of your shows.
Correct. I mean, because chametz is all about, you know, subjectively establishing a proper relationship to your chametz, so therefore you can only tinker with that subjective relationship when it's defined as your chametz. But once zman iser comes, it's not defined as your chametz. It's only defined as your chametz for violation purposes, but not any other positive benefit. And part of that positive benefit, one of its, you know, chosh mishva bailas, and other one is your ability to establish a proper relationship to it.
I don't know how.
Yeah.
What? So where's the subjectivity? How is that? Where are we stepping off of the subjectivity part of this?
It's explaining why you need to be the bailam in order to redefine it. Because the reason why you need to be bailam, the reason why you can't just be mevatel chametz shel acherim, I can basically like, why can't I be mevatel the chametz which is chatzkes rishus? So the answer to that is not right. For a hefker approach, the answer is because in order to perform a ma'aseh hefker, you need to be a bailam. That's easy. But for Afra da'ara, I'm answering that question by saying because bar matzah is all about how I'm relating to my chametz, so therefore the only time I could be mevatel, which is about subjectively relating to it a positive way, an appropriate way, is I can only establish that in my chametz. Because all of the isurim of chametz are subjective about how are you properly relating to your chametz, and bittul is a way of properly relating to my chametz, not as chametz, but rather as afid aro. Once it's all about me subjectively relating to my chametz properly, so it's only going to be as long as it's defined as my chametz, as Rabbi David says. But once it's no longer defined as mine, so then it's just like chametz shel acherim. Le'inyan, everything but the fact that it's, you know, I'm going to violate. You know what I'm saying? Does that help a little bit? Still not.
I don't get why. Why does it have to be yours? You can relate to anything however you want.
No, but it's like insignificant to how I relate to Cheskis chametz.
Well, once it's an Israel, it's insignificant.
No, but, well, number one, it's not necessarily, most likely not really an Isser on you. I mean, Pashas, there's no Isser of Bayo Beimatze for someone else's Chametz.
Exactly, but.
Related to the same point.
There is, at some point.
You're saying Lachas Mani Zero?
Yeah.
No, that's. The Torah is basically putting you in a bind. The Torah is basically saying that we're going to, like, you know, put you in the worst situation. You're not going to have bailus in all the positive benefits of bailus. You're only going to have bailus in the negative.
I got that, but why do you need bailus? Why do you need bailus to
because the shalcha yatarah vel atarah shel acherim shel gavah. The only chametz you're going to violate by matzeh for is your chametz. If you're asking simply, you know, what do you mean? There's an isser for chametz shel acherim. The answer is that's not true. There's only an isser of by matzeh for your chametz. Does that change things? It changed a little. I think that changed a lot. Yeah.
Can we fit in Bereshuso into the second chunk?
Again, I think Bereshuso is harder to say because as long as I own it, I mean, the lack of accessibility, I feel like the lack of accessibility doesn't change the fact that it's my chametz and I should still be relating to it in a proper way. To me, bailus should be kovea.
Doesn't the Rush bring down certain shitas that hold you over by your bayi matzah even if you don't own it, it's just in your shoes?
So again, yeah, that's a complicated
Rosh Hashanah. So I'm saying that if we do say that, then you could understand that it would work with Tom and Shus over here too.
Possibly. Okay, I feel bad. We went a little over. I'll take any questions people have afterwards.